Hey, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of the Breaking Western Podcast. We are still in season three. Abby was anticipating
I
that.
I was holding
it
my breath.
Threw me off. We are in marketing and media, bringing you the best of the North, South, East, and West.
Yes.
To talk about the people that are bringing the West to the rest of the world. Today is no exception. Abby, who do we have on?
Well, folks. Today, we are talking to Sierra Lewis, who is also known as the Computer Cowgirl, Computer Cowgirl by Sierra. And in addition to being a Western fashion influencer, she also runs social media for her dad, the calf roper Brent Lewis.
Love that.
She is so impressive. She is interned for Cowboy Channel, RFD TV, The American, Rural Radio, The Cool Horse. And most recently, she was honored as one of Cowgirl Magazine's 30 Under 30.
Pew, pew, pew.
Yay!
That's pretty cool.
Amazing. So I can't wait to talk to her. Sierra, how are you?
Hello, everyone. I am great. Thank you guys for having me so much. I'm absolutely obsessed with everyone you've had on the podcast. So I feel like it's an honor. I am truly honored.
We're honored that people like you will sit down and talk with little old us. So thank you.
I think it helps that we started this in a quarantine year where no one's doing a lot.
Yeah.
It should be noted that you guys have had like nothing but glamorous and fabulous guests in one year. I thought you'd been going way longer.
Oh,
that's the nicest thing anyone has said to us, because a lot of times we just feel like we're shooting in the dark, and truly more often than not we are blown away that people will actually come on the show and talk with us.
And it, also that everybody starts somewhere, right?
Right.
So this is our start, but we definitely want to hear what your start was, because I bet it's as glamorous as ours.
I wouldn't call... Everyone thinks the rodeo world is very glamorous, and to bust a myth, it is not glamorous. It looks glamorous during in a fart, and that's about it. If you were raised in the rodeo world, you probably have some, like, traumatic scars.
Are we talking emotional, physical, financial?
Now, this is all purely hypothetical, right?
Right.
You don't know this from experience?
I don't. So there we go. So straight into it. I am a rodeo kid. So a rodeo brat, rodeo kid, whatever you want
rodeo
to call it.
Rodeo brat.
All jokes aside, I'm very grateful for how I grew up. But yeah, no, it's definitely, I don't want to compare it to like growing up. Like, it's not. I think we celebritize ourselves a little too much in the rodeo world sometimes.
Mm.
It's not really like growing up in the celebrity world, but in a way, it is very like its own niche, and it's all rodeo kids have a few things in common, that's for sure.
Well, yeah, it's a community where everybody knows everybody for sure. So maybe it's not celebrity, but there's absolutely name recognition everywhere you go.
Yeah, I mean, I've been, are you Brent Lewis's daughter? I'm a wife.
And you say yes.
Yes.
I do. I say yes. And which
Who is
so
asking?
Weird, like, the influencing, I have people that are like, oh, you're Sierra Ray. And I'm like, oh my gosh, you guys pay attention to my username, first of all. Thank you.
How was it growing up being the daughter of a rodeo celebrity?
Well, I have to say, like, the way I grew up, we lived in Arizona between Phoenix and Tucson, so I didn't grow up, like, in the middle of, like, the mecca of it. Like, I didn't grow up in Stephenville. I didn't grow up in, like, those places where, not that it, like, that people more know what it is. So, like, when I was at school, everyone's like, oh, well, Sierra's dad is, like, this famous rodeo cowboy, and it was, like, this, like, legendary, like, mythical thing. I was, like, very, like, friends with, like, skater boys.
Nice.
Yes.
Like, you know, it was not, I didn't grow up, like, my personal friends weren't necessarily, like, the cowboy world, but I have, like, the last, in college, I've grown into that, which I think it all happened kind of beautifully, because you just go through stages of life where you learn where you should be, for sure.
Oh, that's really awesome.
Oh,
that just gave me goosebumps.
I didn't expect that, like, nice.
Curious, then. You're growing up in the rodeo world, but not necessarily in a rodeo town or like a very Western-centric state. So has Western fashion always been something that you were into and passionate about, or how did that evolve?
Like, I've been thinking about that, honestly, a lot lately, because I've tried to figure out kind of how that has worked its into way into my life, because no, at first it was not. Like, I showed goats. Yeah, don't call me the goat whisperer.
Oh my God. And we will.
but I showed goats, and so during a fair, you know, stock show, you mm-hmm. have to dress, like, the part, and it disgusted me to wear, like, jeans.
Oh, my God.
Like, I was not into it. The only pair of boots I owned were, like, the little, like, fat boys. Do you remember those?
Oh, yep, of course. Yep. It's a classic. Yeah. I'm so also feeling uncomfortable now.
Yeah, and, like, a fake hippie belt.
Nice.
So, and then, I don't know, something changed. I started following when Instagram came to fruition. Well, at first, I just thought it was a photo filter. And I was like, this is weird that all these people can see these pictures that I'm taking. Why are they liking this?
So a little confused.
How far my Instagram history goes back. I was probably a freshman or sophomore in high school. Oh. So when Instagram, I guess, started really popping, I followed the Lace Cactus. I followed Southern Jewels.
Yes.
And I followed, there was one, Gypsy Soul, like the OG.
There you mm-hmm. go. That's like the original the triad trifecta. Right there.
It is. And so I guess somewhere in there, I was like, ooh, maybe these clothes aren't so bad. And then I had, like, the small obsession with Texas for a while.
Haven't we all?
Yeah, I think everyone, if you're not from Texas, you go through that.
Yeah.
And I had a lot of Texans around. I grew up around a lot of Texans, obviously, growing up in the rodeo world. And, yeah, it just kind of stemmed. I think I just started, like, slowly working it into my closet, and it just, like, you really develop a style. You don't, like, high schoolers think they have a style, and, like, newsflash, they don't. You don't develop a style until you're, like, I'd say, like, 19, 20. Like, I just barely feel like I've gotten into my style.
Mm.
So I think that's just, you know, you go through the motions, even in fashion.
Well, so I love that, because there is such a huge difference between fashion and style. And style comes, I think, from knowing yourself mm-hmm. and who you are and what you like. So it makes sense that your sense of style is always evolving.
Yeah, for sure. And, like, I know I have, like, a very West Coast vibe. I always will, just because that's where I grew up. You know, we were very close to California. I had cousins in California, so they were older cousins too, so obviously I was, like, worshiping the way that they were wearing all black. And, you know, we shopped at Tilly's, we shopped at Zoomies, we, like, wore the Vans. So, you know, it was that. I still have that. I love Rodeo Quincy because she's, like, a real West Coast girl.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
I, like, relate to her stuff. Hanging out on stage, and they wanted to know, whoever was hosting, how I got into it. And I said, like, I did not set out to be, like, a Western fashion influencer, which I know people do these days, and that is perfectly fine. And I'm not saying that you can't be whatever you want in the world, because I want to be whatever I want to be, and I don't want anyone to try to stop me.
Yes, ma'am.
But I didn't set out to, like, have this title. And then Keeney, who is a country singer, Keeney, she jumped in, her brother rodeos, and she was like, well, she says that, but, you know, she was always dressed at rodeos, and, you know, she brought out, which was just a big compliment, that that's really just who I've been, and that's just who I am. So, like, it just went with it. Like, I was posting outfit pictures in the mirror with, like, Brooks and Dunn quote, like, lyric, and no one cared, you know? Like, it's just what I've been doing, and I got a following, and, like, I'm so grateful.
I'm seeing Vinyl Ranch memes right now of Sierra, and then the caption is, under a neon moon.
You will find them.
You will find them.
Go through and you will find them. And Vinyl Ranch, like, he's my hero.
Same. And I think content idea, we should get one of your OG posts and put that up on our page, because that would be
done.
Yeah.
Oh, I already know the one that you can have, and it's wildly embarrassing.
That's what we live for.
You know, that was the first thing I thought of when you mentioned having Instagram posts dating back to high school.
Yes.
I don't want anyone to see my posts on Facebook or anywhere from when I was in high school, especially compared to high schoolers today.
Yes.
Who look like I do now on a good
when
day.
I try. Yeah.
Like, it's just not fair.
They're not allowed to be as hot as they are.
Yeah.
No, like, exactly.
You don't get to look like this.
We all needed to go through, and I say this lovingly, Abby, but your best friend cuts your bangs, and you shop at Zoomies and PacSun, and
we didn't have braces yet.
We both went through braces. Everybody goes through braces.
Ugh. Well, now they do it in, like, third grade.
Oh, fair. You did? That's cute.
I did.
Ooh.
Ooh, yeah, girl.
So great.
Yes. Okay, but I digress.
Beauty is pain, am I right?
True. But I think that's the thing, the piece that we're missing now is when we look at these, like, big influencers, like, people forget about the journey and all of the hard work that you put in to getting to where you are, and really that piece of just being who you are. You're not putting on a show of being someone else. You've lived an entire life to lead up to your online presence. Mm-hmm. And that's something that can't really be manufactured, you know, overnight.
Sierra, I have to know this. Are you a strategy type of gal? Like, do you plan things out ahead of time? And does that look differently for your account versus other ones that you've worked with?
So I am, but I'm not. For me, no. My latest post last night, I was wearing a new Rodeo Quincy sweatshirt that I got for Christmas, and I literally took it sitting on my desk in selfie mode and, like, really janky edited it and threw it up. So, for me, no, because I've decided, like, I have enough of a following now. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't need to go shoot out and have this magnificent shoot and do hair and makeup just for, like, this 30 minutes, because my following likes me, whether I'm doing that or I, like, turned around really quick and, like, threw my phone at my mom and was like, please take a picture of me. And she rolled her eyes at the rodeo. Like, and threw that picture up, because that picture always gets more likes than the manufactured one. So for me, I don't really know. I'm not. But for, like, dad, yeah, I, like, try to plan out. They love his vintage content, and I've been making videos of him roping to music since I literally created the Instagram. And that just, like, really, I feel like, caught on. And now, you know, I like to see that, like, my little brother and the young boys like to do it. So that's when you know, like, you're doing stuff that people appreciate a little bit. And then now I work for, like, some big companies, and I plan more for them. But I'm still not, like, the girl that, like, has a month full of content planned. I just feel like you just kind of get creative. I like being creative, so I like the day-to-day, what are we going to do today, you know?
That's great.
I think creativity and structure play such a dichotomy back and forth, and for people like me that aren't as creative, then structure helps, but if you're like y'all, then you can just fly by the seat of your pants, and it just always works. I'm
Nothing
so
scares
jealous.
Me more than structure.
Yeah. No, I mean, I have flown by the seat of my pants my entire this so-called career that I have is literally me saying, okay, I'll do it. And does Sierra know how to do it? We'll find out.
What was your original plan? Did you know that you were going to be doing something like what your life is like now?
Because it sounds like it really started with your dad's account.
Oh, yeah. No. I, in high school, I had scholarships to go to FITM, the Fashion Institute of Design and Merchandising in California. And I didn't do that because they were not sending out their 18-year-old daughter to Los Angeles to live by herself. And it's just expensive and just another world, honestly. And so I was forced to go to junior college, and I just like hung my head so low, and I was like on the walk of shame.
Mm.
And it was like a huge, huge eye opener to me, because it really is like exactly what God planned for me. Because then I was at junior college, and my parents decided to make the move to Texas, which reversed a year ago, I had been like begging on my knees for, and like at one point I was like, I'm going to go by myself, like, or I'll get my friends to go. And I had like a huge, huge group of friends. I never left my hometown, and then I just left and I had no friends, and I changed my major to agriculture, which I just talked up and down and just ratted on everyone who was an ag degree, because I grew up with, you know, rodeo kids living at my house. We had an apartment in our barn, and so, you know, they came to live with dad and rope with him. Mm. And so, you know, I just kind of like was always on my high horse, and I was like, oh, gross, you know. And then I moved here, and that's who became my friends. That's what my major became. That's what my career became. So I think I needed that like year of junior college to be like, what are you doing, like, with your life? And in that time, the Bleacher Babe asked me to do one blogger, like, guest blog post when she was just a blog. And I was like, wow, I like this. And I kind of was familiar with Alexis Bloomer's work, Alexis Kimsey now.
Mm-hmm.
And I always really liked her. And people started asking me, like, what are you going to do? And I was like, well, maybe something like she does. Like, she had the live stage show in Vegas for a minute. And I just kind of would watch her, and I don't know, I was just like lightly just kind of skimming the water of maybe so, and then I just got like dunked into it.
And then I fell in.
So what was the moment everything started to shift?
Definitely like when I became a Bleacher Babe. I think I've turned into like, I'm a go-getter for sure, and like if I want it, I am like, I want it right now, and I absolutely have to have it.
Oh,
but
yeah.
Also, like, if it's mint, it's mint.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw an Instagram post. She was taking applications. She had one spot open, and she wanted, like, people to apply. And I was like, you know what? I sat at it. I stared at it, and I stared at it. And I was like, no. If I'm ever going to be in a position like this, like, I'll be asked, and like, oh, you know, there will be like a clear path. I'm just not going to apply. And it was probably me just like being a little brat, like, I'm not being asked, so I'm not going to do it, you know? And then I didn't. And 24 hours later, she sent me a message asking me to be a Bleacher Babe.
Wow. What do you think the difference is there, even like energetically speaking, of asking to be part of something versus knowing who you are, putting yourself out there, and attracting someone to ask you?
I just think, I don't know. I mean, there's situations for both.
Mm.
And I don't know how you even distinguish. I don't even think I'm, like, old enough or experienced enough to tell you yet how you distinguish for both.
Mm.
But I've learned, instead of being the girl that, like, had everything perfectly planned out and, like, what her and her friends were doing on Friday night, what we were doing on Saturday night, and this is what we're going to do, this is where we're going to go to college, this is where we're going to live, to being, like, thrown into, like, an unknown world and just having things, like, come to you. Like, the things that have came to me without me searching have been much more, I've just reaped way more out of those things than I have the things that I dug up for myself.
Wow. So it sounds like a lot of that is leaving yourself open to opportunities and saying yes when they come to you.
It is 100,000%.
Beautiful.
Mm-hmm. What advice would you give to somebody that is going through that right now, as far as coming up maybe as an influencer or just on Instagram, on social media, and they're wanting to, you know, move up, but they're thinking that the harder they work, the more closed doors they're finding? What's your advice as far as, like, sitting back and letting things come to you?
I think everyone, like, at some point just does need to sit back and look at, what am I doing? And why do I want this?
Ooh, yes.
Yeah.
Because, like, I think that people think I know, because I'm in the industry, so getting, like, more businessy with you, I know that when a Western or ag-related business comes out with a job application for social media, that they get thousands of applications. And that is because everyone thinks that being a marketer or being a social media manager is the cool thing to do, because guess what? You spot us at those places that are the cool places to go, right?
Yeah. NFR, stock show. Yeah.
On stage.
Yeah. With those people, you imagine like this perfect world, and it's fun and I love it, and it really is what's been meant for me so far. Will that change one day? Who knows? Maybe. But it's not, it is all work and no play. It's not just like you're not going to hang out and look cute. I mean, I love looking cute, but I didn't go out one time at NFR this year.
Yeah. People don't always recognize that.
There was one, my last night, literally, this is how sad, okay? My mom's friends wanted to go out. And I was like, yeah, like, they're fun. Okay, they're fun. And she had been with me, like, all week, because I forced her to, you know, be, like, my mom and your assistant. And she was like, do you want to go to Billy Bob's? And I was like, absolutely not. I will pay for you to get an Uber. And, you know, she's a mom, so she's like, I'm not getting in a car with a stranger.
Of course.
Love that.
I will pay for you an Uber, and you can go. And I would love for you to go, and, like, here is bar money. But I do not want
to
go.
I am paying you to let me not go.
Like, please. Like, I know I'm 24, and that sounds awful. And I'm telling you, like, I'm not a stick in the mud. Like, I love a good time, but, like, absolutely no.
Truly inspirational.
That's amazing.
So I'm curious, you mentioned that you studied ag. So an agriculture-based degree and working in the marketing world, what's the role of experience versus education?
I really do think that education means a great deal. And I wouldn't probably always be the person to say that. College has always been really important to me. Like, I was a 5-year-old that, like, wore the Elle Woods glasses. And was like, I'm going to Harvard, you know? That was me.
That's so cute.
And I had the chihuahua to match.
What was that noise?
For real. But it is because, and I think I learned that, and I did work all through college. Like, you know, high school, I was all play and no work. And college, I worked, like, the entire time, and I built this platform for what is now, thankfully, a little bit of a career. But the education, it means quite a bit, because I learned, you know, Adobe. I learned what I mean as a marketer to companies that maybe, like, want to turn their noses at social media people and are like, we don't need that. Like, we don't want to pay for that. Like, our professors were like, no, dude, like, you mean a lot to them, and, like, you're a big part of their company now. And I just learned, like I said, with those thousands of applications that you see go up for a job now, people are, like, thinking that they can just do it because they have their own social media, and that's not really, like, fair to us who have put in the time and work to have the career and have studied. You know, we've done a little bit more than just post pretty pictures.
There's definitely more to that skill set than to just go on Instagram and randomly throw content out into the world. And it looks effortless from an outside point of view.
If you're doing it right, it looks like you're barely doing anything at all.
Yeah, but not the case.
No. So tell us more about that. What are some of the hard skills that you use every day in your online presence that people probably don't think about or may not even know about?
Like, insights, I've never been wanting to get, like, 5,000 likes on one picture. Like, I'm not that Instagram model. I'll get, like, 150, but then you'll go to my insights and I'll have, like, 5,000 views. You know what I mean?
Interesting.
Like, it's like knowing that just because they're not liking you and giving you like that, ooh, I got a like you're still having this huge presence. And your account can do that if it's done in the right way. So like knowing that, but also, like I said, the Adobe, like Photoshop editing, I'm nowhere near a professional, but I have actually a video to edit for tomorrow night to go up, and I'm thankful that I was like walked through that in an assignment type of atmosphere.
Someone made me.
Like it being work and like I have to do it right now, and my job's on the line. I was allowed to mess up, and just knowing just like the business of things. And I had this class called Risk Communications, and it was all about like the risks that your company has, like what if this happens. And my first year not going to school, 2020, what if a pandemic happens? So I literally like worked through like this huge like rodeo after rodeo was being canceled, and I, after last year's NFR, I was on camera interviewing, and I was like, that's what I want to do. And I was like gonna go and like really hustle and do that this year, and I didn't because there were no opportunities.
Preach. Yes, I love, we both just lit up at something that you said, and we want to go back to it
with the insights that you just changed
the presence outlook
here. Yeah. That, because I'm suddenly now thinking of all of the times, which is all the time that when I'm
tens of times,
a handful of times. No, every time I'm on Instagram, for example, and scrolling through, the amount of posts that I see, but don't double tap to like, I never thought of the value of those views, of how many impressions that you get, how many people see it versus how many likes you get, because it being seen is probably more valuable than it being
right. Like who liked. Cares who liked it?
Yeah.
And yeah, no,
that's an ego thing.
Oh yeah.
Like you get humbled. I get humbled literally every single day. I got humbled yesterday majorly. But you get humbled like all the time. But then you also get like picked up, because I remember I went to this roping, it's called the Wendy Ryan, and it's like this big annual roping. My dad's been roping at it for years, and then he steer roped at it. And when I started like being an Instagram person, I had a car drive by me, and they screamed, "Oh my God, I love you, I follow you." And I was like, "What just happened?" And, like,
Dad, are you?
Yeah, like, you don't realize, like, oh my gosh, like, Instagram's a big deal.
Yeah, and it's real people watching you. It's not just, they all have accounts, and I like seeing, like, Shaylee, for instance, seeing her at the NFR, it's like, oh, yeah, you are a real person.
Yeah,
no, and she, like, her, I've been with a lot because we were the same year together, Bleacher Babes, and we kind of started at the same time. She had a book, we just kind of were two different directions, and then turned into the Bleacher Babe, and it's just wild that, like, yeah, you get humbled a lot because you're like, well, why am I not getting 500 or 600 likes? Like, why are they getting 500 or 600 likes and I'm not? But then you run across the person that's like, you run across 5 people in real life that follow you. And like, honestly, that means more to me than the likes nowadays.
Right. Because comes down to when you look at your number of followers, how often would you be sitting in a room full of that many people, like hundreds or thousands of people paying attention to what you're doing or seeing what you're doing?
And that
those weight, are real people.
Yeah. And that weight of what you're saying or what you're bringing to the table, like, actually affects their life, and they actually are inspired.
They enjoy it and they pay attention to it. And you're so right. I get kind of like, I'll be like, yeah, well, you know, I'm like at 11 point something thousand right now. And I'll be you know, in the big scheme of things, 11,000 is not that much. And, my cousins will be like, excuse me, like, imagine, just like you said, 11,000 people, like, in a room. Like, that's how many people follow you.
I think this all circles back, though, when we talk about the quality of content or engagements on a post. to that piece of authenticity, and that when we think of followers or an online audience as real people, you want to make sure that your content reflects who you really are.
Mm.
That if you think of it, like, would I say this in front of a room full of people? Mm-hmm. Would I actually do this? And I think that's, correct me if I'm wrong, what you're getting at when you say posts are successful or accounts are successful, like your dad's, because you're just being him, or yours because you're just being you, you know?
Yeah, no, you're 100% correct. And you have to know your audience. Like, I learn each audience, and I learn what they like. I have separated that from, like, the corporate and, like, big brands that I work for.
Mm.
But you still have to know my dad's Instagram, the Young Cap Ropers, which I take pride in, because, like, I want, like, cap roping to, like, be this cool thing, and I want it to have, like, merch, and that's what I've kind of created with his. But, like, with his, it's never been, like, fake, as in things that he wouldn't preach himself.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the Make Cap Roping Great Again, that's, like, a smart aleck, like, Trump, like, you know, play on it. And it's not, I mean, we've had people try to come after us for being political, so it's not that at all. It was just like, whoa, Make Cap Roping Great Again, because there's this conversation that there's a certain era of cap ropers that were, like, the kings, and it was like, well, let's bring that back, and, like, maybe people won't, it just, like, makes you look, or, like, the Tie Down Tuesday, when I had him do this live show, like, he is absolutely not going to get on his story and tell you about all the horses that he's riding today. Okay? Not him. But if I can set him down and I can give him his questions, and he is just, like, going to talk and make some comments that I'm, like, get really red hot about, and I'm like, oh my gosh, this is so controversial. But, like, that's my
dad.
Like, my dad is, like, he just, like, has always been that, like, cowboy dude, so I've learned that, like, that's not something to be like, oh gosh, dad, like, I don't go all publicist on there are times that I would like to, but, you know, it's just like, let it go. Like, I don't, there is bad publicity, but I'm kind of like that person that also is like, well, you know, there's no such thing as bad publicity. I mean, there is, but there, you know, we should be able to get a little controversial in the Western world without being, like, completely, like, attacked for it. Like, we should be able to say what we think. Like, I would love for there to be, like, some Western reality TV shows, because,
oh, hell yes.
Yeah, like, you would just see, like, everyone makes comments, and, like, we don't have to just pad everything down and make everyone think that everything has to be, like, this long line of the same.
You know, and that's life, I think, that, you know, we all need to be showing each other a little grace.
Yes.
Absolutely. Oh, my gosh. Ugh. Now I feel like, to be honest with you, I did not follow your dad up until today, so now I feel like I need to go back and get the whole vibe. So, vibe check. Can you tell our listeners where to find you online, also your dad, you as your dad online, and then also your accounts as well?
Me playing the role of Brent Lewis.
Yes.
You can find me on Instagram at Sierra Ray-agram, which, like, was supposed to be cute, because I was like, oh, Sierra Ray's Instagram, but now it's just kind of dumb, and, like, I want to change it, but I'm not going to, because it's not worth it at this point.
I feel that on a really profound level, says me, Abby, from Iowa.
I mean, yours at least, like, is a little, like, I get it, like, you're from Iowa, like me, you're like Sierra Ray a gram. Like, you just, it takes a while. Me there, also I have a Facebook page, Sierra Ray Lewis, just search it, it's a page that you can like, and then dad is Brent Lewis Roping on Instagram, and he is just playing Brent Lewis on Facebook, and we haven't had a live show in a long time, because it just, you know, it's been a crazy, weird year, but I need to get him back on the live, because honestly, like, I have to give, like, a lot of credit to his social media. It's truly, like, what gave me a lot of the opportunities that I've had.
Oh, I love that.
Some of the best things come from the most unexpected places.
I'm also feeling the Midwesterner in me coming out, being like, Oh my gosh, say hi to your mom and dad from us, because I feel like after this conversation, we know them.
Well, thank you. I'm sure they would take it. They're very, they like me a little too much sometimes.
Oh, that's so sweet.
Every parent has a favorite child.
That's true. And I think that reflects on your Instagram as well, that you are very well liked. And I just can't believe that we had you on the podcast today. I'm so excited about it. I can't either.
This was amazing. So everyone, if you're not following Sierra, go on ahead and follow her now. It's Sierra Ray, R-A-E, Lewis, L-E-W-I-S. And her dad's last name is also spelled the same way.
Because it's her dad. Oh, Sierra, thank you so much for being on today.
We loved every second of it.
Loved having you on. And everybody listening, we will be back next week.
For the season finale.
Thank you all so much for listening, and we'll catch you next week. Season 3, Marketing and Media.